And we're back. You're listening to 88.5 KRFY. This is Know Your States, Know Your Community. And now we're moving on to Georgia, the Peach State, the Empire State of the South, the fourth state in the Union, ranking eighth in terms of population, with more than 11 million people living there. Georgia was admitted to the Union on January 2nd, 1788. And we are now talking to Gail Fendley, a familiar voice on these airwaves, who hails from, where are you from exactly?
Gail? I'm from Hotlanta. I'm from Atlanta, born and raised in Atlanta.
Big city.
Yeah.
Okay. How many years did you spend in Atlanta?
I spent almost 30 years in Atlanta before I moved to Colorado, before I moved here.
Wow. And you were there, and you also still winter, as we say.
That's right.
But not in Atlanta.
Yeah.
No, in the Blue Ridge Mountains. So our family has a farm, not a working farm anymore, but it's about an hour and a half from Atlanta, about 15 minutes from the beginning of the Appalachian Trail.
So you're familiar with the state, even to this day.
Yes.
You know exactly what's going on in
Georgia.
Well,
I don't know exactly, but I try. Yeah. There are parts of it I definitely try to keep up on because I do live there 6 months out of the year. Can't vote there, which is a bummer. But, because I'm in the red state. I'm in a red state, pretty much purple state, Georgia. But, but 6 months out of the year. So I try to keep up with the news, current events, and certainly some of the music venues to see who I can catch while I'm there in 6 months.
All right, let's go back to your girlhood, Gail. Let's talk about those 30 years you spent growing up in Georgia. How did you find yourself fitting in? What was it like for you growing up in Atlanta, Georgia, in the 20th
time.
Century?
Wonderful time.
Yeah.
because in 65 I was 10.
Uh-huh.
So, all kinds of music happening.
Yeah.
All kinds of music happening. I mean, we woke up listening to music, radio, WQXI. Mm-hmm. Also, if you think about 1965, I grew up pretty interesting time in the South.
Mm-hmm.
I was brought up in a non-biased home when bias was all around us. So our family we were brought up Southern Baptist, went to church, and that's when the Southern Baptist believed in love. That's just my personal opinion. Went to church every Sunday, training union and all that kind of stuff. But also my parents taught us at home that everybody is created equal, and that's what they taught us at church. So growing up in Atlanta during the 60s and 70s was challenging sometimes with the racism that was abundant in our town and in the South at that time. The way it shaped me.
Mm-hmm.
Was to learn that one person puts their pants on one leg at a time, like the rich guy, like the poor guy, like the movie star, like my dad used to say.
Mm-hmm.
So that being said, I was there when they decided that the schools had to be integrated and all that kind of stuff. So very volatile, but very beautiful, like 50s and 60s time in the South when it was a sweet and innocent time in the football games and the thing and the whole deal. And I led a really happy, fun, loving life in Atlanta as a kid.
Okay. If you could pick a season to be in Georgia, what season would that be and why?
It's just like I'm a spring fall girl. So
shoulder seasons.
Yeah, the shoulder seasons. You can have the summer in the South. A lot of people love it hot and humid. Not me. That's why I'm here. And now our climate here has changed. What's up with that, you guys?
Yeah, you preempted my next question. I was going to say, from coming from a humid to Colorado, which is humid-less.
Oh, yes.
What did you discover about life being possible to live without humidity? Because I think of Georgia sweltering, especially in the summer months.
Well, and to that point, I always laugh when people here say, oh, God, it's humid here today. It's like, you bunch of babies. Come on. Let's go down to Savannah in July when it's sweltering and sticky. No, thank you. And, you know, I distinctly remember as a kid when they started putting the signs up. Come in, it's cool, and the air conditioning started being everywhere. But as far as the seasons go, you cannot beat the springtime in the South. Okay. You know, I've seen springtime many places in our country, but there are just some things that, man, when it's on, it is on. The azaleas, the rhododendrons, and all the trees blooming. But you know what that brings? Pollen.
Oh, yeah. That comes with, okay.
That comes with the territory.
I'm sitting down at a table in a restaurant in Georgia. What would be uniquely served to me that would make it Georgian?
Several different things.
I'm hungry.
But the place you need to go is the OK Cafe or Mary Mac's Tea Room, because they serve the meat and three, or just four. So a meat and three is a vegetable and three meat and three vegetables. And that is a thing that I miss when I come up here, because you can't just go to a restaurant and get a meat and get some squash and get a salad and get some fresh beets or get corn on the cob. There's no meat and three around here.
Mm-hmm.
And fried chicken, with the meat and three, can't beat it. So good. Chicken and dumplings, Of course, people always go to barbecue and all those kinds of things. And now Atlanta itself and all the outreaching areas have become so amazing with the food because the population, because of the immigrants that have come through Atlanta and stayed. And some of the Vietnamese food there is just incredible. And you'd never think to find that in Atlanta, Georgia. So, you know, once you get further out, that gets a little more spread out. But a lot of the immigrants have moved to those rural areas and started great little restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
One of the ones that I did want to mention on my list that has fed hundreds of thousands of students at Georgia Tech is the Varsity, one of the first big drive-ins. Pull in your car, and they still do it, and bring it to your car with the car hops and the whole deal.
On roller skates?
No, not anymore. But there was one wonderful little black man that worked there when I was in grammar school and worked there until he was 91 hopping cars, and everybody knew this guy. And when he died, I mean, he could have been right there hopping cars when he died. But a chili dog with fried onion rings.
Ooh.
And I'm telling you what, the fried onion rings, they have one huge room. What that's all they're doing is slicing the sweet onions and making the batter. So it's none of this frozen crap that you get.
Mm-hmm.
It's real. And I have to say, I'll go for the grease when it comes to their onion rings.
But for all of your talking about what you didn't mention, a peach.
Well, peach pie and peach fritters.
Okay,
Now
we're talking.
Oh, yeah.
Now we're talking.
But, you know, the fresh peaches, we just don't get them up here like there. And in Gaffney, South Carolina, and there's a place in Western Colorado, and all of a sudden I just spaced the name of it. But I thought I would never have another good peach when I moved to Colorado,
and I was wrong.
Oh, yes. Some good peaches there.
Okay, so if I'm visiting the state, I'm going to move you outside of Atlanta and visiting Margaret Mitchell's house and that sort of thing. Where should I go that would give me a feel for the uniqueness of Georgia?
Boy, that's a good question. Because each place is kind of unique unto itself. Like,
it's a big state.
It's a big state. And Savannah down on the coast, I mean, you talk about eating up history.
Oh,
and a lot of unique things there. And SCAD has made, Savannah School of Art and Design has made a huge impact in that city in making it more unique than just the history of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's all the way down on the East Coast. But then you can go all the way up to the northeast, which is kind of opposite from where I live, and it gets pretty mountainous. There's even a little ski area there. Who would expect a ski area in the mountains of Georgia? Then you can go all the way down to the southwest corner, and you've got a lot of just really beautiful, lush green, kind of down where the rivers flow down to Panama City and flow down to Florida, where that panhandle of Florida comes. Some of the antebellum homes and stuff down there are amazing.
Okay, and how about in the, would this be northwest or just north, Dahlonega, which is the start of?
The gold.
The Appalachian Trail.
And the gold rush. That's what made Georgia really one of the things they were fighting over and what really made it happen.
Mm-hmm,
But of course the Appalachian Trail, because it's right near my house.
Mount Springer.
Yep. So the Appalachian Trail, you know all about it, but it goes through some of the most beautiful mountainous area of Georgia, and it's really kind of
beautiful
north central west kind of where I live. But
and what you mentioned, I was there in the springtime and glory. Early spring, it was still beautiful.
Wild rhododendrons everywhere. I mean, just
roadies,
thick, kind of like our. What is the wood, like all the weeds and stuff when you get right down to the river here? Just picture that being all rhododendrons and have to go through that to get to your fly fishing spot, you know.
What do you miss the most, Gail? What's the first thing you're going to do when you get back to Georgia in just a couple weeks here?
I'm going to go take a walk in the very back end of our property.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so beautiful back there. I mean, we have like about 58 acres there and this back end of the property hasn't ever been touched in 100-something years. So there's some of the most magnificent hardwood trees, giant canopy, that kind of stuff. As far as other than the farm, the first thing I'm going to do is go down to Atlanta and see my little great nieces and nephews. That's what I'm going to do. That's the main purpose of me going to Georgia every winter. I'm blessed to have a place to stay. People go, oh, you got a couple of houses. It's like, it ain't like that. Mm-hmm. It ain't like that. This has been in our family, and I'm fortunate enough to caretake it and be able to go there and be with my family because everybody lives there. I'm the only one that left. So I only have one sibling, and none of us are getting any younger. So it's good to go and spend time with my wacky, wonderful sister who also totally loves music like I do and have a few things on the schedule to see this winter. So
you mentioned going back. How long have you been in Sandpoint?
32 years. Maybe a little over that, but yeah.
Okay. And when was Velma Queen of Fun birthed?
Velma was birthed back skiing in my 20s. And these friends of mine, their dad owned a little ski shop in his basement learned Olin skis, and they were demos, D-E-M-O. Well, I didn't know it was demo. I thought it was demo. And the person's name was Velma that had the skis, and they were orange. And I was like, they're mine. Mm-hmm. So that's where Velma came from, was the skis. And so everybody knew me as Velma Demo. But when I started working at Schweitzer, I had a young man that was kind of helped me out and stuff in my job doing special events on the mountain. And we were all talking about letters after our name. And he said, well, you know what you are, Gail, you're the QOF. And I said, what in the world is a QOF? Yeah, and I have to say what he came up with was not exactly where my sick mind went. And I said, what exactly does that stand for? And he says, Queen of Fun, because you keep it fun up here for all of us.
Bingo.
And I said, I'll take that. So I just started putting QOF after my name. And all the sponsors would call and go, what in the world is this? What is a QOF? And you go, Queen of Fun. You can't go to college to get it. You have to earn it on your own.
Okay, let's go back to Georgia.
Okay.
Thank you for updating. What would you like us to know and the listeners to know about Georgia?
I would like people to know that one time when I went to New York City, this friend of a friend that I went with said, do you guys have frozen yogurt down there? Let me just say, Atlanta is not, people do not run around in hoop skirts. It is not the antebellum days. It is Atlanta, and Georgia is a very progressive state. Go online and look at the industry that they attract. I mean, it's pretty amazing. And it's a friendly place. People get too into the racism thing and all that. Georgia is a friendly place. People are kind. People are good. It's a very mixed state, so don't believe all the racism stuff you hear. I will say that there are good people everywhere you go, and there are bad people everywhere you go, and that's what my dad told me, and it's true. So I think if you pursue any states you talk about on this program that you guys are doing, you're going to find all of these things that we've talked about in each state, because there are good people everywhere. And the thing I love about Georgia is it is diverse. It is diverse. Atlanta was a hub for gay people back in the 70s and 80s. And that's when I was working in the flower industry. Some of the best people I ever met, and some of them I lost to AIDS. And so I will give Atlanta credit for love of all. And those that don't, shoo away. We don't want you.
I have to admit, though, growing up in northern Indiana, my image of Atlanta was from Gone with the Wind.
Absolutely.
With all the soldiers on the ground and...
And the caissons go rolling along.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, very progressive. Just go online and look at the skyline. Okay. I remember when you were asking me about my youth, I remember the one building that used to be the biggest building. It was a big deal. It was 52 stories tall.
Mm-hmm.
You can't even see it anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's been surpassed. And the other thing I would say about Atlanta, one fabulous thing about growing up there is it was the hub of the South. So if you were anybody in the entertainment industry, you came to Atlanta. You performed at Symphony Hall. You performed at Eddie's Attic. You performed where I saw a lot of people who were nothing then and now they're huge, at the Great Southeastern Music Hall. Linda Ronstadt, Emmy Lou Harris. So Atlanta was always a hub for, I don't care whether it was rock and roll and Allman Brothers and all those things you hear about. It was also theater and opera, and I had many clients that were very involved in opera in Atlanta. Not my favorite, but something that in my family, my dad would say, are they yodeling? but, I mean, just really a hub of entertainment and music, no matter whether you're Dean Martin or Dwayne Allman.
Yeah.
Thankful for that.
True to this day. I mean, there's a huge movie and television industry grown up around Georgia, in Atlanta. Hip-hop, obviously.
Well, a big hip-hop, deal. Mm-hmm. I mean, that kind of all happened right after I left.
Mm-hmm.
Huge industry. And the film industry in Atlanta in the last, I would say, probably two decades.
Yeah.
Big industry. And they have courted it well. So, you know, you go at a downtown hotel and sit around a little while. Oh, there goes Tom Hanks. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, it was used to be kind of used to that with musicians and stuff, but not as much with the quote unquote Hollywood type as is now. I mean,
yeah, I think of when I think of music in Georgia, I think of Athens, Georgia, REM, B-52s, Indigo Girls.
Oh, they're right here on my list. Don't forget Macon.
Oh, yeah, Macon, Georgia.
Before Athens ever became
Little Richard.
And
Macon, Georgia.
The Allman Brothers and Capricorn Recording Studios.
Right. Yeah.
That was huge in my life during that time. So one of the things I am hoping to do this winter, I've had it on my list for several years, and I think it's actually going to happen, is to go to Macon, take the tour of Capricorn Studios, and they have set up the house that the Allman Brothers used to live in. It's called the Big House, and they've set it up as a museum. So they got Dwayne's guitars in there. They got the Hammond B3 from Greg and all that kind of stuff in there. So I'm hoping to make it down to Macon. I've been wanting to make that journey. And
so what part of Georgia is Macon in?
It's about an hour and a half, 2 hours south on 75 below Atlanta. So it's kind of like you're heading south, and then you kind of take the arm down to Savannah from there.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Macon was Capricorn was huge in the recording industry. That was Wet Willie and Lynyrd Skynyrd and Allman Brothers and mm-hmm. all that gang of groups of mm-hmm. the Southern rock, I guess I would say.
Yeah. I got one more question, food related.
Yeah.
Waffle House.
Oh, man. Pecan waffle with a side of bacon. Come on.
Yeah.
24 hours a day. Uh-huh. Went to see Paul Thorne up in Chattanooga one night. And well, it's not actually Chattanooga. It's called the Caverns. You guys have seen it on public TV, Bluegrass at the Caverns. It's been on for many years. So my sister and I wanted to get up there and my brother-in-law and go to a concert. Saw Paul Thorne. Well, you're down in this hole. You're down in this big cave. Talk about great acoustics. But when we came out, there were no lights. So a big storm had moved over us. And we drive out, get off at the exit where we get to our, where we get off our hotel room. And you know something's wrong when the lights are off at the Waffle House. Mm-hmm. This is no, we doze but seldom close. They never close.
Yeah.
So, because we were going to pop into the Waffle House, have a little late, you know, breakfast, dinner, and no lights. The power was out. It's like, oh, what's wrong with the Waffle House?
That's an actual, I mean, I think the Waffle House Index is a somewhat legitimate way of judging the strength of a hurricane. How many Waffle Houses are closed? Okay. That's
I believe it.
Yeah, and I know people measure these things.
I do miss the Waffle House. And the other thing on food that we did not discuss is two things. Mm-hmm. The home of Coca-Cola is Atlanta.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
The home of Coca-Cola. And if you ever get a chance to go there, the Museum of Coca-Cola is fantastic. You talk about marketing. It takes you through every decade. It's amazing. But the other thing that a lot of people would love to have around here, Chick-fil-A. Home of Chick-fil-A. And I, you know, politics or not, I'm down with a good Chick-fil-A sandwich or one of their salads. And they really do good things for their employees. Kids like high school teenagers that work there, they help pay for a scholarship for these kids to go to college. And that's part of the deal of working there. So, plus they make a dang good chocolate shake. Ow! Waffle cut fries. Come on.
We're now at 21 minutes. So it's time for us to close things up, I guess. What would you like to say in conclusion here, Gail?
Well, let's
What haven't we asked you about?
What we haven't really talked about is all the, you know, I'm a music person. I like to share that here on KRFY. I made a quick little list.
Okay.
Now, if any of you would like to know people from Georgia that are in the music business, here you go. Well, first of all, everybody always goes to Ray Charles.
Sure.
And the song Georgia. And I would like to let everybody know that the state of Georgia, that is our state song.
Mm-hmm.
They made it the state song. I think it's probably been 25 years or so ago. And Ray Charles actually came to the house floor and sang it. Mm-hmm. My sister cut the picture out of the newspaper and sent it to me. And the look on his face, being a native Georgian and it being his state, the look on his face and the pride that he had in singing that song.
It's a beautiful
right
song.
Right there. I mean, and I have to say, Moonlight in the Pines, it always happens when I'm getting ready to leave Georgia and come back to Sandpoint. There's a full moon and I just start weeping. I mean, it's a beautiful song. So Ray Charles, everybody always knows that. But a few of you might know Dwayne and Greg, the Allman Brothers. Don't forget Dickie Betts. I know. But Whitney Houston was from Atlanta, GA. Gladys Knight.
And the Pips.
And Gladys Knight actually has her own restaurants down there. It's Gladys Knight Chicken and Waffles. She's trying to give, Waffle House a little run for the money. James Brown, Otis Redding, Little Richard, like Jim mentioned, Curtis Mayfield, Chet Atkins, Graham Parsons, Mac Davis. Now, some of you older folks will remember him in the country music world. And also ancient Kenny Rogers. Sorry, the plastic didn't work, Kenny. Kenny Rogers, Sugar Land in the country world.
Right.
Patti
right,
Loveless. Right. And then you brought up Athens, REM, Indigo Girls, Collective Soul.
B-52s.
The B-52s. I mean, on and on and on. Isaac Hayes. He was one that I did not realize was from Georgia.
Yeah.
Collective Soul, India Arie, Black Crows, Wet Willie, and that's only like a third
And you mentioned earlier, before we went, Graham Parsons.
Oh, Graham Parsons.
Lena Horne.
Lena Horne. Those were two. I had no idea that Lena Horne was from Georgia.
I did know, but I didn't know about Graham Parsons.
And you know the other person that's still out there rocking with everybody is Chuck Lavelle, who played with the Allman Brothers, who has continued to play with so many groups. I mean, you look at his resume, and Chuck Lavelle has quite the resume for keyboards. So that's just a little taste of Atlanta. As they say, come on down, y'all. Mm-hmm. And grits are better than people up here make them out to be. You just need to put butter, a lot of butter and bacon bits and salt and pepper on them. And cheese, too. They have them at the Waffle House.
Okay. Well, Gail Fendley, thank you for sharing with us today about the state of Georgia. We'll try to squeeze in some of those musicians that you mentioned before we call it a wrap on this show.
One of the favorite flowers, the state flower, Cherokee rose, and the tree, the dogwood. So there you go.
Well, how about the state bird?
Brown thrasher.
You were correct.
Yes, they're all over my yard.
All right.
Oh, my fifth grade teacher, Miss McCallum, would have been really upset with me if I hadn't been able to answer those questions.
Easy schmeasy.
All right. Thank you, Gail.
Thank you so much.
Cool for doing this, you guys. Good luck with the whole series.